Shalom, everybody, and we welcome you to the Hebraic Heritage Ministries Yeshiva Discipleship Program. In this session, we are going to cover the priestly service of Yom Kippur. The traditional readings for Yom Kippur in Judaism from the Torah is Leviticus in chapter 16, and the Haftorah, this is the morning service, is Isaiah chapter 57 verse 14 through chapter 58 verse 14. The extra reading called the Mafter is Numbers chapter 29 verses 7 through 11. So we are going to cover in this teaching from the reading of Leviticus in chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 17, it explains that the Day of Atonement is for the entire nation of Israel. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. The earthly tabernacle is a type of the heavenly tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it is written, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which Yahweh pitched in, not man." Continuing on, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, and then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, "which serve unto an example and shadow of heavenly, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, says he, that ye make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mount." That is a quote from Exodus or Shemot chapter 25 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24, "For Messiah is not entered into the holy places made hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Yeshua is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Messiah Yeshua." This is also stated in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed in the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." So the ceremony of the high priest on Yom Kippur foreshadows Yeshua, who is our heavenly high priest. Aaron is not only a high priest, but a mediator between the nation of Israel and Yahweh. Aaron was the high priest of the nation of Israel, who played the role of mediator and intercessor for the sins of the nation of Israel on Yom Kippur. Our mediator and intercessor in the Brit HaDashah, or the Renewed Covenant, is Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua is not only our high priest, but he is also the mediator between God the Father and the sin of mankind. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Yeshua." We see how Yeshua is our mediator, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. "And for this cause he," Yeshua, "is the mediator of New Testament, that by means of the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." We see this as well in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. "And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, into the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we see that Yeshua intercedes for us to his heavenly Father. Who is he that condemns? It is Messiah that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We see how Yeshua is our intercessor, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 25. But so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better testament. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In Leviticus chapter 16, we see that the high priest of the nation of Israel went into the veil once a year. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Believers in Yeshua are priests unto Yahweh. Through the death of Yeshua on the tree, all believers in Yeshua have a priestly ministry unto God the Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you are lively stones, you have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua Messiah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it is written, he's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We see how believers in Yeshua are priests unto him. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We see how believers in Yeshua are priests unto our Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In the ceremony of the high priest on Yom Kippur, as outlined in Leviticus chapter 16, Aaron, the high priest, washed himself in water. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, and he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Yeshua is the fountain of living water. In order for our sins to be forgiven, we need to be washed by the water of the living Torah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and his word. In Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it is written, O Lord, the hope, the word hope, it's the Strong's number 4723. It's the Hebrew word mikvah, which means immersion. O Yahweh, the mikvah, or the immersion of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, we are instructed that we are to be washed with clean water. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. Being born of water is required to enter the kingdom. We need to be born of water to enter the kingdom of the God of Israel. In John 3, 1 through 5, it is written, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him.' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Yeshua answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.'" We are to be washed and sanctified. Mikvah, and the washing and the cleansing, is for the purpose of our sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of Yahweh Yeshua and by the Spirit of our God." Our hearts are to be sprinkled with water. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assured faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In the high priest ceremony of atonement, Aaron took a bull and made atonement for himself and his household. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6 explains that this bullock is for a sin offering. "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." There was the casting of lots for two goats. Next, Aaron took two goats and cast lots for them. One goat was labeled to Yahweh. The other goat was labeled to Azazel. This is outlined in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 5 and 7 and 8. "And he shall take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats, a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for the scapegoat." One goat was for a sin offering. The goat upon whom fell the lot to Yahweh was given to be a sin offering for the nation of Israel. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 9 and verse 15. "And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." Yeshua is our sin offering. Yeshua was a type of the goat labeled to Yahweh. When Yeshua died on the tree, he became a sin offering unto God the Father for the sins of the entire world. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 4 and 5. "Who has believed our report? and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yeshua died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We also see this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from Yahweh Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Titus chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, speaking of Yeshua, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The high priest on Yom Kippur mentioned the holy name of the God of Israel, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh. The high priest would pronounce the name Yahweh 10 times on Yom Kippur, 3 times during each of his confessions, and once when he cast lots to select the goat to be offered as a sin offering and the other goat to be sent in the wilderness. When the goat selected to be the sin offering was identified through the casting of lots, the high priest would say that it was sanctified as a sin offering to the God of Israel using the divine name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or Yahweh. And this is mentioned in the Book of Our Heritage by Eliyahu Kito, Volume 1, page 97. In this book, it goes on to explain, when the priests and the people gathered in the courtyard and would hear the high priest pronounce the divine name Yahweh, they would kneel, bow down, and fall on their faces, crying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, which means, blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. In the Talmud, in Yoma 41b, it describes this event. He, that is the high priest, bound a thread of crimson wool on the head of the he-goat, which was to be sent away. In the meantime, he placed it at the gate whence it was to be sent away, and the he-goat that was to be slaughtered at the place of the slaughtering. He came to his bullock a second time, pressed his 2 hands upon it, and made confession. And thus he would say, O Lord, I have dealt wrongfully, I have transgressed, I have sinned before you, I and my house, and the children of Aaron, your holy people. O Lord, pray, forgive the wrongdoings, the transgression, the sins which I have committed, transgressed and sinned before you, I and my house, and the children of Aaron, your holy people, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, your servant. For on this day atonement be made for you, to cleanse you from all the sins shall you be clean before Yahweh. And they responded, blessed be the name of the glorious kingdom forever and ever. The goat upon whom fell the lot to Azazel was sent into the wilderness. Before the goat was sent out, the high priest laid his hands upon the head of the goat and confessed the sins of the nation of Israel, putting the sins of the nation of Israel upon the goat. In Leviticus 16, verse 10 and verses 22 through 23, in Leviticus 16, verse 10, verses 20 through 22, it is written, But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle, the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Azazel is a type of Hasatan. The Hebrew word for Azazel is scapegoat. Azazel is seen as a type of Satan in the extra-biblical book of Enoch, chapter 8, verse 1. The sins being laid upon Azazel and being sent into the wilderness can be seen as a type of judgment upon Hasatan, who will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. One of the customs of Yom Kippur is that a crimson sash was tied around the horns of the gate of the goat labeled to Azazel. Why was a crimson sash used? It is explained in the Talmud in Shabbat 86a that is based upon Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, which says, "Come, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It goes on to say in the Talmud, how do we know that a crimson-colored strap is tied to the head of the goat that is sent to Azazel? Because it is said, if your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Talmud describes how the goat led into the wilderness was cast off a cliff, as it says. What did he do? He divided the thread of crimson wool and tied one half to the rock, the other half between its horns, and pushed it from behind. And it went rolling down, and before it had reached half its way down, it was dashed to pieces. This is Yoma 67a. Another custom is that a crimson wool thread was tied to the entrance of the ulam at the temple. It was considered a sign that the God of Israel had forgiven the sins of the nation of Israel if the crimson wool thread turned white after the goat labeled Azazel was cast off a cliff into the wilderness. In the Talmud, in Yoma 67a, it explains, our rabbis taught, in the beginning, they would tie a thread of crimson wool on the entrance of the ulam, which is the hall leading to the interior of the temple. If it became white, they rejoiced. If it did not become white, they were sad and ashamed. Thereupon, they arranged to tie it to the entrance of the ulam within. But they were still peeping through, and if it became white, they rejoiced. Whereas if it did not become white, they grew sad and ashamed. Thereupon, they arranged to tie one half to the rock and the other half between its horns. Rabbi Nahum Papa said in the name of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, originally they used to tie the thread of crimson wool to the entrance of the ulam within. As soon as the he-goat reached the wilderness, it turned white. Then they knew that the commandment concerning it had been fulfilled, as it says, if your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white wool. However, it is recorded in the Talmud that 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple in the year 70, the crimson wool thread at the temple did not turn white. In the Talmud it says, our rabbis taught during the last 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the lot for the Lord did not come up in the right hand, nor did the crimson-colored strap become white. This is mentioned in Yoma 39a. These were the years before the death of Yeshua on the tree and the destruction of the temple. During this service of Yom Kippur, Aaron put on holy garments. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4 and verse 32. He shall have the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. The high priest changed his clothes 5 times on Yom Kippur. Each time he changed his clothing, he immersed himself in a mikvah. During all of the service inside the Holy of Holies, the high priest would wear white garments. And this is explained in the Book of Our Heritage, Volume 1, page 96, by Eliyahu Kitov. We are to put off the world and put on Messiah. Dirty garments represents the sin of the world. Believers in Yeshua as Messiah are commanded to put off the sin of the world and put on Yeshua. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put you on Yahweh Yeshua Messiah, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, verse 14. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. We are to put on white garments. White garments represent clothes of purity, righteousness, and the wedding dress of a bride. In Job 29:14, it is written, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Psalm 132, verse 9, it is written, Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. A bride wears a white dress. White is the color of the wedding dress of a bride. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. He who overcomes wears white. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, the same will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. White represents the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It is a Jewish custom to wear white clothing on Yom Kippur. Some wear a kittel, or a white robe that is worn over one's clothing. This is mentioned in the Book of Our Heritage, Volume 1, page 78. The bodies of the animals were placed outside the camp. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 27. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. Yeshua was slain outside the camp, or outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the Torah, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto complete, whole, or perfect. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Yeshua has power to forgive sins. While the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, the blood of Yeshua can take away sin. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Yeshua, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. But that you may know that the Son on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go unto your house. It is the blood of Yeshua that takes away our sin. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see how the blood of Yeshua takes away our sin in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Yeshua. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is the blood of Yeshua that takes away our sins. Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Yeshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It is the blood of Yeshua that reconciles us to our heavenly Father. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the Torah purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. In Psalm 32, verse 1, it explains, blessed are they whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It mentions this verse in Psalm 32. Even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. What is sin? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. When we repent of our sins, we're repenting for transgressing the Torah. And if we repent of our sins, we are then seeking to follow the Torah through the definition of sin. We must confess our sins to be forgiven. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. We must confess our sins to be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next, I'm going to share with you from an Orthodox Jewish prayer book for the services for the Day of Atonement, put out by the Hebrew Publishing Company. Copyright 1928 by Star Hebrew Book Company in New York, where it speaks about Yom Kippur, the Messiah, in Isaiah 53. And this is in the section of Unthein in Thokef. And in the book, it begins on page 283. But what I'm going to share with you is from page 288. And this is a part of the Orthodox Jewish prayer service of Yom Kippur, where it says, though he should be exceedingly angry with his people, yet will the Holy One not awaken all his wrath. We have hitherto been cut off through our evil deeds, yet has you, O our rock, not brought consummation on us. Our righteous anointed is departed from us. Whore has seized us, and we have none to justify us. He has borne the yoke of our iniquities and our transgression, and is wounded because of our transgression. He bears our sin on his shoulder, that he may find pardon for our iniquities. We shall be healed by his wound at the time that the Eternal will create him, referring to the Messiah, as a new creature. O bring him, the Messiah, up from the circle of the earth. Raise him up from Seir to assemble us the second time on Mount Lebanon, by the hand of Yinon, which is a term for the Messiah. The rabbis teach that Yom Kippur is the climax of the 10 days of repentance, known as the High Holy Days. Even so, the rabbis teach that the Nilah service is the climax of Yom Kippur. The heavenly judgment inscribed on Rosh Hashanah is sealed during Nilah. This is mentioned in the Art Scroll prayer book, the Ashkenazi Machzor, on page 706. Nilah is known as the time of the closing of the gates of heaven. From the prayer book of the Nilah service, page 709, it mentions, a redeemer shall come to Zion. And the Hazan then states, you are the Holy One enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And it's also mentioned, holy forever and ever is Hashem. The entire world is filled with the radiance of his glory. Referring to the Redeemer shall come to Zion, which is a quote from Isaiah 59 verse 20. This is referred in Romans chapter 11 to Yeshua the Messiah. So Isaiah and chapter 59 verse 20. And the Redeemer will come to Zion unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Yeshua is the Redeemer of Israel. Job chapter 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, quoting Isaiah 59, 20, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Yeshua is the Holy One enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh, Zevaot. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this is quoted in Revelation in chapter 1. as there we see Yeshua sitting on the throne of his glory. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8, and from Yeshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I am Alpha and the Omega, or in Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending, says Yahweh, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. It is Yeshua who sits on the throne of his glory. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And the four beasts had each of them six was about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest, not day and night, saying, Kadosh, 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 the Yahweh, God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. Vidui means confession. And in confessing, you confess that you and your forefathers have sinned. As a part of the Vidui, or the confession of Yom Kippur, it is stated, Our God and God of our fathers, may our prayer come before you, and do not ignore our supplication. For we are not so brazen and obstinate as to say before you, the Lord our God and God of our fathers, that we are righteous and have not sinned. Rather, we and our forefathers have sinned. And as a part of declaring the confession of our sins on Yom Kippur in the prayer book, the following is confessed. We've become guilty. We have betrayed. We have robbed. We've spoken slander. We've caused perversion. We've caused wickedness. We've sinned willfully. We have accused falsely. We have given evil counsel. We've been deceitful. We've rebelled. We've been perverse. We've been obstinate. We've been wicked. We have broken your commandments. And as a part of the Nila service, in the Art Scroll Machzor, page 725, it says, Let your right hand save. Salvation comes through Yeshua, who is the right hand. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeshua is the Savior of Israel. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If we confess with your mouth Yahweh Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is on Yom Kippur where you sound the great shofar. And the sound that is made with the shofar is the tikiyah. And so this is known as the Shofar HaGadol, or the Great Shofar. The shofar that is sound at the end of the Nila service is known as the Great Shofar. The rabbis teach that the shofar inspires within us a yearning for the shofar that will herald our ultimate freedom, the Great Shofar that will announce the coming of the Messiah. This is also the reason for the custom to call out next year in Jerusalem. From the Art Scroll Mizora, a Yom Kippur Ashkenazi prayer book on page 765. A single tikiyah is sounded on the shofar. A great shofar is sounded to gather the exiles of Israel. Isaiah chapter 27 verse 13. It is written, And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. The great shofar will be sounded to herald the coming of Yeshua in the clouds of heaven. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Yeshua will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives on Yom Kippur. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 4 is written, "Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his peril, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore are you red in your apparel, and your garments like him that treads in? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there is none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." Yeshua is the King of Kings. Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And so, being dipped in blood, this is a reference to Yom Kippur, as was the reference to Yom Kippur, as we read in Isaiah chapter 63, when it says that their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. Continuing, referring and seeing Yeshua returning on Yom Kippur with the vesture dipped in blood, Revelation 19, verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Yeshua said that he would not return until Jerusalem said, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you shall not see me until the time when you say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." So, "blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord" is an idiomatic phrase that means welcome, and it is said when the bride and the bridegroom are getting married. And so we all say, "Next year in Jerusalem, Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah, Amen." For those of you in Pow Talk, we're going to play a song, and after we play a song, we are going to replay the 5-minute update for those who would like to hear it again.
My life was mine, that I had all the time. I used to think that what I did, it was so good, it was so fine. I used to sing, I used to dance, I thought I was the best, you see. And all the time the Lord was very patient, waiting just for me. I used to say that all I need was time to play. And in the night with all my might, I used to do the things that weren't right. I didn't care, I didn't dare, I couldn't see, I wouldn't see. God was looking, he was loving, he was longing, waiting just for me. live without him. Now I'll never, never, never have to live without him again, again. Ay, 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 ay. Shall be